Welcome to Working From Home and Living to Tell About It, the podcast that brings together old pros with a custom home office, newbies working on a laptop from their couch, and those thinking about taking the leap to working from home. Hear real stories of challenges, struggles, and successes from those who live the work from home lifestyle. And along the way, pick up great tips, advice, and life hacks to make working from home both fun and productive. Now, here's your host, nationally recognized technology expert and longtime working from home professional, Marcel Brown.
And welcome back to another episode of Working From Home and Living to Tell About It, the podcast that is all about working from home and the challenges and struggles and successes we all face while doing that. I am your host, Marcel Brown, known as the most trusted name in technology and also a 19-year working from home veteran at the time of this recording. So today I have two special guests, Mary and Amadeus Nunnally. They are the co-founders of the Lavender Dragon team. Mary is the president, Amadeus is the vice president, and they are also a mother and son team. The Lavender Dragon team, they make learning fun for small and medium-sized businesses who are looking to improve their online or in-person training. So Mary and Amadeus, thank you for being on today.
Thanks
hey, Marcel. Thanks for having us.
So this is the first time I have interviewed two people at one time. So this could be a learning experience for all of us. But you know, as you said, you make learning fun. So this should be fun.
Definitely.
Do our best.
All right. Yep. Very good. So in talking with you before this recording, I got to know a little bit about you two and how your working from home story plays out. And it's actually a multifaceted, multi-part story because, like I said, not only are you the co-founders of your business, you're also mother and son. And Mary, you homeschooled Amadeus while you were also working from home. So why don't you kind of start off with that story?
Sure. So I think home is really just where our heart is and where our DNA is. Amadeus was also born at home. And so he was a celebrity before he was born. He was on the front page of the Tennessean back 27 years ago, because he was an at-home water birth. And so from there, he has a sister who is 8 years older than him. She came home one day and said, "Mom, I want to homeschool." And my question was, "I haven't got a clue. I've never thought about this. What do you mean?" And I said, "Okay, if we don't kill each other over the summer, then we will homeschool." And so Amadeus, being the young lad that he was, would run screaming from the room every time the math book came out, because my daughter would just shed tears and scream, and it was just not a thing. So fast forward a couple of years, always being part of Amadeus and Andrea's lives, being his teacher, he decided that he didn't want to learn to read. Mm-hmm. And he was a big video gamer, even at, you know, 4, 5, 6 years old. I got tired of reading those game manuals to him. And if you recall back, you know, in the 90s, they were like books of how to do things in the game. And I'm like, "Nope, you're not going to do it." Well, it turns out he was afraid that if he learned to read, I wouldn't ever read to him again. So once he figured that part out, that I would still read to him, he went from like being a non-reader to reading well beyond grade level very quickly. But we did discover along the way that Amadeus also has a special gift. He is dysgraphic. And so putting him into regular school just wasn't going to work, because there's some extra challenges when you have a special power. Like in his In his case, he can't write.
Okay.
And so dysgraphia is similar to dyslexia, but he can't hold a pen and write. And so Amadeus, why don't you just share a little bit about that? And then we'll talk about how we ended up going into business together.
Yeah. So that, I think, is a big setting stone of how we've always kind of worked together. And being home, she was usually splitting time between having to work at home, teaching me, and then I was getting my sister to help teach me. And they used to think I was just messing with them when I couldn't write things. So when they had me try and learn to write, I would negotiate and bargain. And I would write half sentences, and I would stop in the middle of a sentence in middle of a pen stroke and go, "This is exactly half." And from that point on, that's when they realized maybe we should get him in front of a computer instead.
Yeah.
And honestly, that kind of set my love of not being in a traditional environment for learning or doing work or anything really, and being at home always felt better. So while fast forwarding even more into the future, we've only been working from home in this business for about 4 years now, right?
Mm-hmm.
We've kind of always worked from home. And in my case, I've always done schoolwork from home, except for a brief stint in college where I didn't work from home.
Well, that's also a unique perspective that you grew up homeschooling and now you're working from home. It's all about home. Kind of like you said, Mary Lee, the home is where your heart is. So that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And so, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. You're the guest. You go ahead.
No, you're the host. You go first.
Okay, fine. Pull my arm, twist my arm
that way.
So what I was going to say is, going back to that working or the homeschooling perspective while you were working from home, certainly you had additional challenges with both your kids. You kind of seemed like you jumped in the fire as far as homeschooling goes. So you didn't plan on doing that. So suddenly here that is. But any particular advice you could give on parents who are working from home and need to homeschool their kids at the same time? How does that play out? Some of the advice you can give on that front.
Sure. So I think for me, the biggest thing was I focused on my two children mastering English, writing, and math. And the rest of the stuff was really led by their interests and their needs. Because if you're doing research, like my daughter went through this whole stage of studying serial killers. So it's like, okay, but we're learning history and we're learning about people and we're learning about, science, because then, you get interested by that. The biggest thing is that when we first started homeschooling, it was like, we need to recreate that school schedule. From 9 to 10, you're going to do this. From 10 to 11, you're going to do this. I discovered unschooling, which is a branch of homeschooling, which is more student led. And while we did school pretty much every single day of the week, it wasn't we're going to be in class from 9 to 2. It was much more relaxed and much more loose. And it was around Amadeus and Andrea's body schedules and what they were doing. So there's nothing that says that school has to happen between 9 and 2. If that's when I need to be working, then why can't school happen between, 5 and 8?
Great. I was going to mention unschooling, because that's exactly, I've done some research into homeschooling, and my daughters now are 20 and 18. They're off to college. I kind of wanted to homeschool them when they were young. We ended up sending them to a private school that was very similar minded in the way they taught. Unschooling, I think personally, is probably the way to go with homeschooling, because just like you said, it gives you a lot more flexibility. And I think that is key when it comes to working from home in general, but also then when you are managing children at home at the same time, and especially if you are doing the homeschooling.
Yes. And, even with unschooling, like I was not a purebred unschooler, because I still really put this focus on English and writing. I still had both of the kids do standardized testing, because I wanted to make sure that if they wanted to go to college, they were still prepared. But if you can't read and you can't do basic math, even if you unschool all your life, you're not even going to be able to cook. We did a lot of science in the kitchen, because cooking is all math. And so you make the learning fun, but you also teach practical skills.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. So Amadeus, as the homeschool student, I'm not sure what necessarily advice you could give for parents working from home. However, I bet you probably have some stories or nuggets to share how you as a child kind of perceived this whole work. Your mom works from home and she homeschools you and that sort of thing. And especially possibly as you got a little older, you maybe had more appreciation of it.
Oh, definitely. I would say when I was really young, trying to get me to read and do math books was just blood, sweat, and tears to try and get it done. But once I was able to get my basics down and really start pursuing subjects as I was interested in them, it made it stop feeling like learning and more just like a hobby or something I was actively interested in, which I think both for work and for learning or for schoolwork is really kind of key to not burning out, wanting to keep doing it, especially in an environment like at home where, because she was working so frequently, I was usually on the computer or near a TV. I could definitely have just not done work for a couple of hours and been like, oh, hey, I'll do this later. But because it was something I enjoyed, I read a lot of history and I delved into a lot of different books and different languages type things, just because I found it interesting, as opposed to from this hour, you need to read this, or you have to do this. And that made it to me not feel like this very painful thing. And it, I also wanted to prove that, like, you know, I had most of my friends in the neighborhoods were going to school. So when they would compare what they were doing to me, I wanted to make sure I wasn't like, oh, he's that kid who didn't, you know, learn how to do anything and just stays at home. We're so lucky. So that was a kind of motivation too, just having people I knew that I wanted to go, hey, I'm smart too.
Yeah, good. And I think that's just another endorsement for the unschooling method is when a child is driven by their own personal internal motivation, they're going to learn. And I can even attest to that with my own daughters. My younger daughter basically demanded to learn to read because she wanted to be able to read what was on the video game screens. Her older sister would read everything to her. And eventually she was just like, all right, I want to learn to read this stuff. So that she had a great motivation to read because of video games, which most of the time, you know, the common wisdom is, well, video games are not good for learning. Oh, they're great for learning. It's a motivation factor. I know I got into technology because of video games. So mm-hmm. I can see that certainly from that perspective. And also, again, when it comes to homeschooling with working from home, if your kids are self-directing their learning, that takes some of the burden off the parents because they can be better assured that their kids are actually doing productive things mm-hmm. because they have that self-motivation rather than trying to force them to do things that you think you're supposed to do because that's how traditional school's done and it just eats up more of your time. So great to have that perspective from the child that has grown up in the homeschooling with working from home parents. So let's fast forward, I guess, a bit here. Then obviously now you guys work together from home in your business. Mm-hmm. Can you kind of give kind of just an overview of how that came to be?
I guess I'll tell this story because I'm mm-hmm. kind of the one who brought it to fruition. I had been working at, right after I came home from college, I had had shoulder surgery from the school I'd gone to play sports at. And had mm-hmm. to withdraw after 2 years. So I came home and was like, I'm going to join the workforce, worked at a place nearby for 3 years. And I was really fed up with just the environment and management and how things went when it could have been so much better. So I quit and I came home because a couple times mom had talked about, yeah, we should, you know, consider going into our own family business of basically what we've been doing for the past 40 years anyway. And I went, hey, mom, I quit my job. So I'm ready to join the family business. And she went, oh, I didn't realize we were starting the family business just yet.
Hey, and keep in mind, offer. Mm-hmm. in mind, this is when he has about $100,000 in student loan debt to pay off as well. Mm-hmm. So it's like, family business. Okay, I guess we got to change that business model pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. Well, the lesson there is don't make the offer unless you're prepared to make good on it, I guess, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And it worked out. And as the employer at the time, because he'd been away at school and he'd been in the workforce, I really didn't know what his skills were. I mean, I knew what it was when he went away to college, but I didn't know what it was when he got back. And so that first year of the two of us working together was a lot of like, well, what can you do? Okay, what do you like to do? So, you know, we did everything together from writing slogans for coffee mugs to, you know, Amadeus building websites. And then he finally realized that he likes what I do, which is online course creation. Mm-hmm. And video animation and interactivity, which is more game-like. And so that's really where we've settled, but it took some time. And I think that goes back to the homeschooling. If I hadn't allowed him to explore all of those years, then mm-hmm. with him joining the family business, it would have been like, okay, you know, you're an employee, you need to do this and you need to work from this time. And instead it was like, okay, let's see where your interests lie and let's see what happens. And you know, we had a couple of heart-to-heart reality checks of like, okay, if you want to get paid, you have to do some work.
Mm-hmm. And that just kind of comes of, it's real easy at home to slip into that, oh, it's just mom telling me to do some chores. Like, she won't get mad if I push that off for another day or two. But mm-hmm. then it's, okay, no, I'm your boss. You're about to get fired. You need to do that. Oh, yeah, I got you now.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is some great perspective because number one, you're taking your experience with homeschooling and kind of just allowing that to proceed similarly in trying to develop an employee who happens to be your son. to find out what he really is interested in and what, how he could be most productive. And then Amadeus, you're saying, yeah, it's kind of that those lines are blurred. Sometimes you got to really figure out, hey, you are working from home. You have to work. And yes, it is your mom, but she's also your boss.
Yeah.
So feel free to share a little bit more, you know, on that perspective.
Well, that was, we had, I think it was probably about a year and a half ago when we were just switching between a couple clients and also trying to get our skill set up to learn some more skills. So she had sent me off to go do some conferences and try and brush up. And just between trying to balance all of that, it was easy sometimes for her. She sent me a message at like 8 o'clock at night saying, hey, this client needs a thing. It's like, oh, it's 8 o'clock at night. And mom's texting me. Usually that's after business hours. This isn't something we have to worry about. I can do that in the morning. Mm-hmm. But then the client messages in the morning and says, hey, where's that thing? And it's like, oh, I thought she was just letting me know I needed to get this done, not that I needed to get this done for a client. And that's kind of when it sunk in that, right, we're not just doing things for ourselves, like with schooling, you're doing chores where the only one that was affected was the household. Whereas now it's like we're actually sending things to other people that they're hiring us to do. And I think that was the hardest thing to kind of let set in for us, was just other people are having us create things for them and they need it on certain timetables. And after we kind of had that conversation of, okay, listen, I will let you know when I'm your mom texting you, but otherwise between 7 a.m. until 10 p.m., I'm still your boss if I text you about work.
Mm-hmm. Great perspective there. It brings up a theme that's been common in a lot of the interviews I've been doing, is that of setting boundaries, setting expectations with other family members, with your employers and other employees that are obviously not there at home, all sorts of things that go into that. So that's a different, unique perspective. I've not had a mother-son team like this, but it does make a lot of sense. Not only are you working from home, but you got to navigate those family/employee boundaries as well, which is just a challenge of any family business in general. Mm-hmm. I think just different as well when working from home. And yeah, you guys are, what message means what sometimes? Is it from mom or is it from the boss and the business? And there are clients involved, not just you know, your own personal family life.
We even flip it sometimes too, where I'll have opinions or actual advice on something she's working on. And I think sometimes it's like, oh, that's still just like Amadeus giving that advice, where it's like, no, but I actually am co-founder too. So I do know a little bit about something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good idea, mom. You got to listen to your son.
That's it. And especially within the last year, Amadeus has really grown into the job and into that role. And there's more opportunities for him to work with the clients directly, because he's also proven to me that he's capable of doing it. Because as you know, as a small business owner also, not only is it your personal reputation on the line, it's also the company's reputation. And whether that company is a company of one or a company of, you know, 5, 10, 100, if we drop the ball, it's just like, okay, this would be no different than when I was in a corporate job. If I didn't think you would represent well in front of the client, I'm not going to put you at that client meeting. And so it's, you know, can you do that, Amadeus? Can you carry on that conversation? And now it's much more of like, hey, these clients are more your level, your speed, your skill set. I'm going to, you know, we'll do a joint meeting together and then let me introduce you to them. And now they're yours. And then you just let, you know, copy me on stuff because I need to know from a project management perspective where we're at. So if the client reaches out to me, I'm not going, I don't know, but he's really stepping up into that role of a vice president and a co-founder and somebody who's really business smart.
Great. I mean, it's just part of the entrepreneurial process. And it's interesting to see it play out from a working from home perspective, where again, it's family working from home together. Do you each have any further, any little nuggets or tidbits or interesting stories to share just in general about your working from home experience?
Well, we have an interesting story that happened about 3 days ago.
Okay.
So I work from home in underground in the basement, and she works on the top floor because that makes it really easy to separate. These are our workspaces. And when we go to the middle of the house, that's the neutral ground. That's where food happens. And that's where we relax.
Good idea.
But about 3 days ago on Tuesday, I had gone upstairs around dinner time and I came back and I realized, oh no, the floorboards have water coming out of them. Uh-oh. So we thought our AC had busted because that was where it was pooling. and we get the HVAC out and I start cleaning that up, and we're still kind of finishing the workday. So this is kind of a, what do you do when your workplace floods? and so I get that out, and then I realize, oh no, all the floorboards under my bedroom and living room floor slash office are wet too. Where is it coming from? Well, our hot water heater had decided at some time in the past day to completely start leaking from the top and the bottom, and had flooded most of the room. So that was a, we called a plumber at 10:30, and he goes, yeah, this isn't the pipes. You're going to need a new hot water heater. And we get a project manager out Wednesday. And it's very hard to work from home when you have two really big contractors carrying hot water heaters and Sawzalls installing things in the right behind your office. So we kind of lost that day of work. And it's been, that's one of the challenges of being a homeowner, though, is, or being a working from home business owner, is how do we get back that day of, we lost 8 hours to contractors, but we still had client deadlines every other day of the week. So, hey, I guess mom hat, that's going away. And we're going into the, we're going to work some 14, 15 hour days, try and catch back up.
Totally understood. One of the things I have kind of as a backup, kind of as convenience, is a co-working location that is in a town about 30 minutes away from me that I used to live in for a long time. So I have a lot of clients there. And so it's a nice space to be able to go to. If I have a day of clients in that area, I can go to the co-working space. But it is also nice in a situation where maybe I need to get out of the house for some reason, I can still work. So I think it is important for us who work from home to have some sort of backup availability, either a friend's house or something like that, so we can go and do some work, which also, again, relating to technology, it's nice to have a laptop, your data on the laptop or in the cloud or some way that you can get to it if you can't be from home. So I've had some issues with water heaters before. Luckily, it didn't flood out the house. So it was, I was still able to work, generally speaking, with that going on. But yeah, that's a headache that, yeah, working from home can certainly present differently than working in an office.
Yes. Well, and you know, it's that, like, we have to be home to let the people in too at the different times. So even if we had gone to a co-working space, you know, the cats can't let the plumbers in. So one of us still has to be there.
Right.
But you're right. So having a backup is good.
So Mary, any final thoughts on any interesting working from home challenges you've had in your long experience?
You know, every day is a new day. I think the biggest thing is having that structure. And as you had alluded to earlier, setting those boundaries, whether it's with your friends, your family, your colleagues, because so many people that I've worked with in the past, like, oh, well, you work from home, you know, let's go out for a 3-hour lunch. I'm like, what part of the work are you missing? You know, it's like, you get the from home, but it's the work part that I'm focusing on. So it is, you know, setting those boundaries and saying, no, my workday ends at, or, you know, here's when I can get together with you. And it takes a while sometimes to educate people that just because you're working from home, you really are doing work. And it's like, yes, this is what pays the bills.
Right. There is flexibility involved, but not always what you think is, you know, doesn't mean I can just take the whole day off or anything. Yeah.
Take 3 hours off to have lunch. That means that I'm probably working on Saturday because I owe the client something. We still have deadlines.
Or at least give me a week to plan it, you know, if we want to do that. I can't do it tomorrow because that's, you know, drop a hat type of situation. But yeah, I get it. And also sometimes too, the danger is, as Amadeus kind of alluded to earlier, is it can be easy to be very flexible with your time if you're not disciplined. And that is one of the things we all have to kind of stay on top of, is it is nice to have the flexibility, but we also have to not abuse it ourselves.
Exactly.
In effect, our own bosses in that regard, is managing our own time and productivity effectively. So
yeah, so we have great. set work hours. And again, it doesn't always work out. Like, our goal is to do a 4-day work week with Fridays for day of professional development, you know, speaking, doing interviews, learning new skills. But then you have a week like this one where, you know, the hot water heater exploded and we lost a day and a half. So guess what? We're working Friday and Saturday, but it was a choice that we made.
Sure.
But, you know, we even have it in our email tagline that the offices are closed on Fridays so that we can better serve you.
Makes a lot of sense. Put it right out there. Set the expectation with the client. That's a good piece of business advice, regardless of whether you work from home or not. Any entrepreneur could definitely learn from that. So speaking of entrepreneurship, certainly I want to know a bit more about the Lavender Dragon team and how exactly do you make learning fun for businesses?
Amadeus, you want me to talk?
Yeah, take it away.
All right.
Ladies first.
So some of the things we do to help make learning more fun is we focus less on just like, you know, stand in front of a camera and talk. We work with our clients to build more interactivity into their courses, whether it is through actual learning games or learning activities, or like, hey, let's do a show and tell. I just finished doing a webinar for a client on how to use LinkedIn. And it was, here's the PowerPoint. Great. We're going to look at two slides. Now we're going to go into LinkedIn. Now we're going to go to LinkedIn on the phone. Now you're going to pull out your phones and do the exact same thing I just did and ask me if you have any questions. And so doing those types of things in training to get your audience engaged, because so often we think of training as just click next to continue. And it's really so much more than that. And so along those lines, we've also created a second line for the business, which I'll let Amadeus talk about, which is to build some more interactivity into people's lead magnets. So if you're a small or a micro business, having an interactive lead magnet is a really cool way to get your audience engaged with you. So Mr. Vice President, take it away.
Sure. So when we say interactive lead magnets, we're not talking about these like super in-depth, you know, it's going to take a lot of time and like effort to comprehend. A lot of times the interactivity is as simple as there's some buttons you can press to bring up information, a video that brings to life what would usually just be words on paper or words in an email that you're sending out. And it makes it more unique and gives it more personality of what you want to achieve with it, what your design style is. Even if it is just some videos, now it's popping out and it's something people are encouraged. Like they click on it and go, this looks interesting, as opposed to, ah, yes, my 1600 wall of text email that I've gotten today from someone.
And the Absolutely. Other part of it is it allows your audience to choose what pieces of information they want when they want it. So in a PDF that so many of us see as lead magnets or an infographic, it's very static. I have to look at everything on the screen and then go, okay, great. So I have to get down to paragraph 4 before I get that one sentence that means valuable information for me. With the interactive, think of it like a mini video game where you're clicking on buttons and things are happening, and it could be text or pictures or your voice or whatever, drawing your audience into the experience.
Well, and you know, I love video games. So that's definitely sounds attractive to me and interesting. And spoiler alert, listeners, I am actually working on a kind of a technology training course type of thing. It's still very much a work in progress, but sounds like I'm very interested in taking advantage of this lead magnet idea and maybe even working with you on making the course more fun and interactive. So this is great. So
yeah,
awesome. More on that to follow in future episodes. But since I have you on now, I thought I'd tease that a little bit. So
I love it.
Great. Well, I think this was super fun. I mean, it's two for one interview, but also get all the different perspectives from homeschooling all the way to working from home and trials and tribulations. That this has been super fun. So thank you both, Mary and Amadeus, for being on today.
Our pleasure. Thanks
for having us.
Very good. So as always with the Working from Home and Living to Tell About It podcast, I would appreciate if you listen, rate, and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform, whether that's Apple, Spotify, or iHeartRadio. I hear is starting to make some waves. There's a lot of different podcast avenues out there. So however you listen, please do rate and review this podcast. That helps us get in front of more people. And certainly, I think a lot of us working from home could use the community and support. So again, Mary and Amadeus, thanks again for being on. And as your host, Marcel Brown, make sure that you stay working from home and live to tell about it.
Thank you for listening to the Working from Home and Living to Tell About It podcast with Marcel Brown. For more information about the episode you just listened to, visit workingfromhomepodcast.com. Please subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes and share this podcast with your friends and family who work from home. See you on the next episode of Working from Home and Living to Tell About It.